Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. We are down to just weeks left of the 2024 legislative session, and time's ticking. But there are some major items on the table being discussed right now, and so we're going to get a check-in right now with Senator Steve Harding, who is the Republican leader for our state Senate. So happy to have you here, Steve Harding. Thank you, and welcome back. Good to hear from you. How are you?
Good to be on. It's always good to be with you, Melissa, and you know, thanks for all you do and raising awareness on the issues and particularly advocating for our first responders, which I know is something close to your heart. So thanks for all you do. It's an honor to be on this morning.
Oh, not a problem. I appreciate that, Senator Harding. Thank you. It's good to talk to you. I know how busy you are, especially in this new role, but also we're down to really just weeks left. So I know I have a lot to talk to you about, so we'll see how much we can get to. First of all, I want to talk about probably one of the biggest stories this week. And this is how I know it's a big story, okay? Because my husband is he's very into Twitter or X, and he follows stuff all over the world and, you know, obviously the country, but he looks at everything. He came home the other day and he goes, did you hear that there was a unanimous vote to pass legislation for street takeovers? And I said, wow, a Connecticut story coming out of your mouth. That's different. And he's like, that's a huge deal. I mean, this is something that scares, I think, the average Connecticut resident. Wouldn't you agree, Senator Harding? Tell us about this legislation and the likelihood that it will pass to really combat the issue of street takeovers in Connecticut.
Yeah. So right now, you just mentioned it. It is a huge issue. It's a dangerous issue. Not only is it a public safety hazard, it's a hazard to individuals simply just trying to get about their business. Usually it's right at night, but, you know, there's individuals that work jobs that might need to get from point A to point B late at night. It blocks roadways and major intersections across our state. And on top of that, it puts individuals, many young lives, at danger by what goes on with these street takeovers. So, you know, really what speaking about our first responders at the beginning of the call here, what they've been having trouble with is being able to do anything about individuals gathering in that type of mass and creating these takeovers, because inherently it's not necessarily illegal. You know, this legislation would address that particular issue and make it a crime or at least something in which the police can, law enforcement can utilize to break up and deter individuals from conducting these street takeovers and organizing these street takeovers. And so it just simply gives law enforcement the tools necessary through criminal penalizations for those that are organizing the takeovers, and also those that are participating aggressively in these takeovers and bringing individuals in mass to basically block up these roads and intersections and the like and thoroughfares to drag race and do the other things that are being conducted during these takeovers.
So it sounds like, again, there was a unanimous vote on this. Does it seem like this is something that will be, will pass before the session is up? It just seems like it's a no-brainer. This doesn't even seem like a political thing. This just seems like a safety thing.
It is, and it's a common sense thing. You know, far too often in the building, it comes down to just simply common sense. And unfortunately, politics seems at times to get in the way of that. But in this particular instance, it should be apolitical. It does make common sense. Your husband has a good intuition in that, you know, a bill passing out of committee unanimously is a very good sign that it is likely headed towards passage in the legislature in both chambers and hopefully signature by the governor. But I do foresee something happening. And to your point, it is common sense. It should be apolitical. I know some have raised, you know, concerns with the bill in the past, but I don't think any of those concerns rise to the level that we should not move forward with passing it. At the end of the day, it's becoming a significant public safety hazard for our state. We're seeing it crop up far too often in all corners of our state, in all areas and roadways of our state. So I think we have an obligation as legislators to our constituents to address it. And I do believe there is a strong likelihood, and I support the notion that there's a strong likelihood that this will pass this particular legislative session.
And we have Senator Steve Harding here, Republican leader of the state Senate in Connecticut. Let's go from street takeovers to beach takeovers. I know, Senator Harding, you know what's happened just in recent news. This week alone, Stratford shut down its beaches Tuesday because of a large crowd that caused mayhem on Monday. West Haven now has a curfew because of the problems Monday night, including shots fired into multiple cars. And this isn't a new problem either. I mean, I remember it was just, what, two summers ago, Walnut Beach in Milford had to put barriers up for the rest of the season because of a huge brawl. And it seems like the same kind of thing keeps happening. So what can be done about this? Is this a conversation happening up in Hartford right now?
It has been. I mean, I think, you know, some of these are state parks, some of these are not. You know, in terms of state parks, obviously, we would have oversight, or Department of Environmental Protection would have oversight in terms of, you know, limiting capacity. There have been measures that have been taken kind of individual by individual, beach by beach, with some of the state-owned properties. I'd like to see a more cohesive approach by DEEP, but unfortunately DEEP, for whatever reason, has been, and other legislators have been, somewhat apprehensive towards that. I think, to your point, this is not just a one-off issue for one particular beach or one particular park. Unfortunately, we're seeing it everywhere throughout the state, not only in beaches, but in other state parks. And as the summer months come ahead and the warmer months and the warmer weather approaches us, these issues seem to get manifest itself into worse situations. So I always like to be proactive as opposed to reactive with legislation. There has been a discussion about implementing certain capacity measurements within our state parks. Unfortunately, it seems to be a park-by-park type of approach, which, again, as I said, I think it's the wrong way to approach it. I have been pushing DEEP and will continue to push DEEP to have a more comprehensive approach. But then also it comes down to allowing law enforcement to do their job. Far too often we're passing legislation in Hartford which preempts law enforcement and first responders from doing what they need to do to prevent these situations from occurring. Being preventative in these measures, I think, are oftentimes better, particularly for public safety purposes, than being reactive and approaching the situation after, unfortunately, something bad has already occurred. Mm-hmm. I think it's a holistic approach in terms of DEEP addressing the issues at the state park comprehensively, and then also, you know, giving the authority and support for our law enforcement to do something about this earlier on. Where it seems to be this push again in the legislature and continuously in Hartford to take tools away from our law enforcement to actually address these issues.
We are just down to weeks left of the 2024 legislative session. Lawmakers racing to finish and try and pass any legislation they believe is good for Connecticut. And we are chatting right now with State Senator Steve Harding, Republican leader of the state Senate. And Senator Harding, I wanted to talk about one of the bigger stories that came up this week, really shocked a lot of folks. The State Election Enforcement Commission has officially referred two Bridgeport cases for possible criminal charges. Both the cases reportedly involve complaints filed about alleged absentee ballot fraud that happened during the 2023 primary election for mayor. Now, on the show earlier in the session, we had Representative Perillo on the show, and he shared that there's not been one person in 25 years caught committing absentee ballot fraud or committing election crimes that have done prison time, which I found astonishing. Yeah. And so when you hear about this and possible criminal charges, what, if anything, has happened with election laws on the books? I mean, are we going to see any changes or added legislation to clean up shoddy elections in our state? What do you think?
One should only hope, and Representative Perillo makes a great point. I mean, it is shocking to think, you know, 25 years, individuals during that time period have been arrested and charged and found guilty of committing election laws, and they have not served one day in jail. And it's just insane to think. If we value the integrity of our elections in our state, which we should, it's the foundation, it's the bedrock of our democracy, there needs to be significant penalties on the books to show that if you commit fraud, you are going to serve jail time. So there have been a number of proposals, many of them by my Senate colleague, Senator Sampson, in the Government Administration and Elections Committee, that have actually, you know, looked to address this issue. One of them, to Representative Perillo's point, mandates that if you are found guilty or plead guilty to committing a election law crime, that you serve a mandatory 1-year jail sentence. That is one of the bills that he proposed, and my Republican colleagues in the Senate have supported. In addition to that, requiring a copy of a photo identification with your absentee ballot to ensure that the identity of the individual that's submitting the application is the individual that's requesting it. And then also mandating an audit of the election rolls by the Secretary of State on an annual basis to ensure that our voter rolls are accurate. And individuals that have passed away, individuals that have moved out of state, are off the voter rolls. And again, our voter rolls are accurate. So these are simple, common sense measures, in my opinion, that would go an incredibly long way towards safeguarding our elections here in Connecticut. And most importantly, providing voters the confidence they deserve, that they know when they go to the election booth in November, or whenever that may be with early voting or submit their absentee ballot, that their vote is counted and that the tally is accurate and legal. That's all we're asking for, nothing more, nothing less. Again, there have been numerous common sense measures that have been proposed before this majority party or Democratic Party in Hartford. They have all been basically shot down summarily. The only thing that we got based upon the genesis of the embarrassment that occurred in Bridgeport was essentially a law that says we'll put a camera or mandate municipalities put a camera in front of these drop boxes. Move on, walk away, and don't discuss anything further. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to accept that as an answer. That is not anything that's going to do anything about securing our election laws here in Connecticut.
I don't even know why we still have the drop boxes. I do understand that there are people who need to be able to mail in their absentee ballots. I get that. We have senior housing. I get it. I myself did absentee ballot when I was out of state in college. But it just feels like ever since the pandemic, this has been such an excuse. And again, this should also be a political. This should not be a, like, I find it so shocking that not one Democrat, you're telling me not one Democratic lawmaker in Connecticut watched the video of what happened in Bridgeport and said it's totally fine. I find that so shocking, Senator Harding, that not one Democratic lawmaker, you're saying, in this session has said this is not enough, we need to do more. Not one.
Not one. I have not heard from him. Now, I've spoken with Democrats. To your point about this, this should be apolitical, because I've spoken with Democrats in my town. Not elected officials, but actually one is the register of voters, the Democrat register of voters in my town, and has said that, look, the COVID laws were a one-off, that there was an expansion of access based upon the fact that we were dealing with the pandemic, and we all understood that and appreciated that. But to now take that and say this is the law forever, and we're unwilling to fix anything or safeguard any of those expanded measures that we've taken since then, is antithetical to safeguarding our elections. It's really that simple. It should be a common sense approach. It should not be political. To your point, Melissa, to watch what occurred in Bridgeport, and most importantly, highlighting the fact that it's apolitical, you had an apolitical judge see that video and say, this is so fraudulent what I'm seeing here or witnessing. I am taking unprecedented action, and I am ordering two brand new elections. I can't remember the last time anything close to that has ever been done. Mm-hmm. And so to take what happened there and to simply walk away and say, well, put a camera up in front of these drop boxes and move on, is a complete disservice at the very least to the voters and the constituents that we serve here in Connecticut.
Not to mention the person who was caught on camera and was named by the judge, so we publicly know, was then reelected as the vice chair of the Democratic Town
chair
Party.
Chair of the Bridgeport Democratic. Yep.
So you
can make the argument the person was essentially rewarded for what occurred as
Correct.
Opposed to punished, which is
got
just
away with
insane
it.
To think.
No problem.
Yep.
It to me, and again, this is where I think so many people get so wrapped up with party and affiliate and all of that. It's like, are you serving the public? Are you serving your constituents, or are you serving your party? because common sense, I want to know that when I vote, I'm not wasting my time. I want to know that things are being done in a clean fashion, regardless. If you legitimately won, you legitimately won. That's not the concern here. The concern here is, am I wasting my time voting in Connecticut politics? Because if we're just going to go with the party line, I am still so shocked that not one person in the Democratic Party has said, this is embarrassing. This can't continue. We've got to find some kind of... But again, I don't know if that's out of fear that they're going to get voted out, intimidated. I don't know. But I just find that so shocking that not one Democratic lawmaker in Connecticut is saying the law that we're about to pass, or we're about to fix, I guess, is enough to make voters in Connecticut, their constituents, feel comfortable voting in the upcoming election. That's insane to me. That's crazy.
You're spot on what you say. And ultimately, I think, you know, you have listeners, many listeners that have Democratic reps or Democratic senators. And I think it's important if they're willing to reach out to them, shoot them an email, you know, give their office a call and let them know that you believe in supporting safeguarding our election laws and ask for their support in that. Because really, that's what it comes down to. This should be an apolitical issue. And really, if you're saying that a camera at a drop box is simply enough and move on and do nothing else, you're towing the party line and you're not listening to your constituents. It's that simple.
Well, we certainly have a lot of other things we're keeping our eye on. I know the EV mandate is off the table. I do want to know what is going to happen now after the session. I know they were thinking about making some kind of a panel, but at last check when I checked in with the governor's administration, that still hasn't happened yet. I know there's so many other topics we could dive into, Senator Harding, but I unfortunately have run out of time. But I'm very curious to see what happens in these last few weeks of the session. And certainly, if you have the time to come back on, we'd love to have you. If not, I will see you on the other end of things. I know how busy you are, so thank you.
Well, Melissa, I hope to be on soon. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for all you do. You do a great job, and I really enjoy your show a lot. So thank you for having me.
I appreciate that, Senator Harding. And yes, I would love to have you back on before the session is over. That'd be great. If not, I'll talk to you after. Yeah.
Let's make it happen. Thanks, Melissa.
Cool. That'd be great. Senator Harding, we appreciate you right here on WICC.